What was the genesis moment for this book?
I'd finished a novel called Gould's Book of Fish, and I had this sort of, it's not even a story, but I wanted to write something about the prisoner of war experience. But it wasn't so much a longing, it was more a sort of growing sort of stone within me that it sort of was choking me. And I didn't want to write the book, but I knew I sort of had to at some point address it. And I was in Sydney, and I was walking across the Sydney Harbour Bridge, which is very beautiful on a late afternoon because you've got the sunlight playing on the water and the slight breeze. There's a promenade there. I was reminded walking across of this story my mother and father were fond of about a Latvian migrant had ended up in the little town where I was born in Tasmania, and he'd come there after the war and married an Australian woman and had a family there. During the war, he'd got caught up in those great movements of people that swept back and forth through the bloodlands of Eastern Europe. And when he made it back to his village at war's end, it was to find it razed to the ground and his wife, he was told, dead. And he refused to believe this, and he searched that apocalyptic sort of world of Eastern Europe for the next 2 years looking for her. Went to the Red Cross centres, the displaced people's camps and so on. And in the end he had to accept that she was dead. And at that point he immigrated to Australia. In 1957 he went to Sydney, which is in Tasmania, some hundreds of miles south of Australia. Sydney's a long way away, but he went to Sydney and he's walking down a crowded street and he saw walking towards him his wife with a child on either hand, and at that point he had a few moments to decide whether he'd acknowledge her or whether he'd walk on. And growing up I always thought that was one of the most beautiful stories about love that I knew, and I realised at that moment, this was the walking across the bridge, thinking about this story. This would be the key to this novel about prisoners of war. And I imagined a man who'd been a Japanese prisoner of war many years after the war, who thought this woman he loved had died also during the war, walking across the bridge and seeing that woman walking towards him and having to decide whether he'd acknowledge her or whether he'd walk on. And I went back to an area called the Rocks, which is a very old colonial area near the bridge, found a pub, and I wrote that chapter out on the back of beer coasters there. And that was the beginning of the book. And then I wrote five different versions of the novel. I wrote, and I lost this original idea. I didn't lose the beer coasters. I just, as you do, you sometimes have an initial impetus and then you drift away from it. And I wrote it as a series of linked haikus, and I wrote it as I wrote it in the first person plural from the voice of a sort of collective anonymous group of prisoners of war, ex-prisoners of war. And then I wrote it as this sort of ensemble epic that spanned a century with a whole lot of different characters and different voices. And each of those books didn't work. And I would delete them off my hard drive and I'd burn the manuscripts so nothing remained of them. And in between I'd write other novels. And then always I came back, tried to, and at each point it became more pressing. I sort of, but though it's completely irrational, felt that if I didn't write this I wouldn't be able to write another book. And it was beginning to consume me, and then I found the beer coasters again one day, and I realised that that was the basis of the novel. That's what had been missing, that it needed this, it needed a story of love at its heart. That's really what the book is.
The central character, highly conflicted.
Well, you know, I mean, when the illusion of these sort of, when you do go on a book tour and I talk to people like you, is that I know who these people are and I have a judgment on them. I don't, you know. I think novel writing is the attempted art of communicating something incommunicable within your own soul, and you throw over these things, these very abstract things, story and character, are the sort of motley you use to enable the reader to somehow sense what it is you're finding within yourself. But in the end, that's not what the book is about. That's not the fundamental pulse and surge of it. So I don't seek to understand or judge the people I write about. I just seek to describe what they do and what they think, and then I let readers decide. So with the lead character, Dorrigo Evans, who's it really follows his life. He is a leader of the prisoners of war in the camp, although he doesn't really want to be. They come to see him as essential to their survival, but he feels that he fails them every day, that essentially he's a fraud. And after the war, out of a sense of duty and shame, he allows himself to be elevated into this position of being a war hero, though he feels nothing of the sort. I've found readers have come to me, and some readers find him despicable, some people find him attractive, some people find him evasive. I mean, you found him a man of contradictions. Other people find him remarkably coherent. I mean, the point is, there are many different judgments of him by readers, and I'm happy when I hear that, because that means the character succeeded. If there was only one reading of the character, I think it'd be a pretty limited achievement. Or I don't think it'd be an achievement at all. Novels should be like life, open to endless understandings.
The book is The Narrow Road to the Deep North. I've been speaking with the novelist and Man Booker Prize winner Richard Flanagan, and The Narrow Road to the Deep North is published by Vintage.